Good afternoon, folks. Welcome to the session on predictions, methods, and models. Our first paper, it's investigating the impact of the blogosphere using PageRank to determine the distribution of attention. And our authors are Lars Kirchhoff and Axel Burns and Thomas Nicolai from Queensland University of Technology and the University of St. Gallen. So, welcome.
I'm Lars Kirchhoff because I've lost my badge already. So, hope I find it again. I'm from St. Gallen, and Thomas Nicolai, who's not here, unfortunately, is from St. Gallen. They're both from the Institute of Media and Communication Management of the University of St. Gallen. This little project was a little side project of our current work, actually, which is a project called Scientific Commons. On public open access publications, actually. Axel Burns joined our little experiment and helped us to enhance the paper and presentation a lot. And he will later on make some points on the evaluation or the interpretation of the data we gathered through our experiment. And he's from the Queensland University of Technology, just to get this clear. What was the reason actually to do this little experiment? In 2005, I had a course in or a doctoral seminar where we are asked about taking topics. And at this time, the blogosphere became more and more important in Germany. I know it was late, so in comparison to the U.S., but Germany took off at this time, actually in 2004, 2005, and it got me annoyed a bit that so much hype was generated at all. So I was like thinking, hey, is this all about blogs? I mean, you know, all the coincidence like, or the incident like Dell Hell or the Kryptonite case, where suddenly the blogosphere generated a hype about the topic and it switched to the general media. And I was like thinking, is it just about the blogosphere or is it just general an incident which happened to have an impact generally? And this is like the main starting point for me, where I asked me, how can I get a feeling how really important blogs are in comparison to other media? So this is where the question arrived. So is there really a different impact that the blog can generate in comparison to other media? Because a lot of papers already were written about the blogosphere, the high interconnectedness and everything, and they told us that the high interconnectedness, the type of technology used in blogs are very friendly to search on events and generate a higher impact. So I was like, curious if this is really true. And the next question then came into the mind was, how is the PageRank distributed across the blogosphere at all? So is it the same distribution, like the overlap at all, or is it a different one, or how does it distribute at all? So, and later on there was the question, can we or have visible effects on the general media sphere from the blogs at all? So, and as I gathered the first experiment, it was actually at, I think Christmas 2005, I was thinking I should do it next year again or in a different time period just to see if there's a grow or a decline of any of the page ranks within these blocks that I try to analyze. So what was actually done was that first question for me was like, okay, where do I get all the blog or URLs that are around? At this time, it seems for me the easiest way, actually, the most comprehensive way to use blogger.com, because they first have a very unified URL structure to gather the profile. So it's just blogger.com, then profile slash a number, and then you got all the blogger profiles. Within these blogger profiles, you got the URL to all the blogs that are maintained from the profile set up at blogger.com. So It may that it is a blogger.com blog, or it may that it's an external URL, and it may one or either 5 to 10 blog URLs in one profile. So this was really very structured information, so I could program a little piece of code which just ran over blogger.com, took 50 million profiles from that blogger.com. At this time it was slightly the end. I'm not really sure if there were, I just stopped it at one point, because then there are the numbers of profiles which appeared, and which not translated into 404 errors of the web server, just grew a lot. So from these profiles, I extracted about 8 million unique blog URLs, because there were some profiles which were duplicated or just empty, because some users just logged in and created profiles without any blog actually. So this 8.8 million blogs were then used with a little tool, or it created another tool which just then collected the page rank from Google. So as Google opened, I mean, they have this page rank which is scaled from 0 to 10 in the logarithmic way or scale, so which we'll talk about later a bit more. And there's a lot of tools already available to trace the page rank of any web page in the browser or any other tool as well. So, and there are a lot of APIs available for it. And yeah, you can just easily collect it actually. This were then taken into the experiment as well. So, and as I told already, I took the same profile 1 year later. Extracted again the URLs which had changed within this time, so it's not really one-to-one comparable, but almost exactly. So I retrieved again the Google page from a year later in 2006. So yet now a short introduction why we use the page rank actually. And we can later, or actually later, explain some of the limitations of the page rank, or what you should be considering if you're taking the page rank for such experiments. So the easiest or the most important thing why we use the page rank is that it is actually available for most of the websites on the web. I mean, if Google hasn't got the whole web, we know it all, but it has most the biggest index so far, as I know, make the internal page rank available for the public, so it's easy to gather as well. And as Google has a really good infrastructure, which makes it possible to gather in a really quick way. There's not such company as I found so far that provides such an easy and fast access to their data. Because I mean, I use Technorati for other experiments as well, and their infrastructure doesn't hold for lots of requests, for instance. So with Google, I could just send or bomb them actually with requests getting the data. So I programmed a program which runs with hundreds of threads, just collecting the page rank, so that we have a real instant feedback of the or a quick run through the software to get the page rank. So just takes for the 8.8 million blocks to retrieve the data was 2 hours now. So quick. So that's Google just fine. I mean, the technology, really, they have a long delay, so you need to trick around with it. And this is why the PageRank is really nice to gather, actually. So another part which is important is that it's structurally seen as a global property. So it's all available all over the net for all websites, and it can be compared to other websites, not only to the blogs. So what makes the link to the impact we've just written in the title is that we wanted to make sure or to measure the impact is that most web search, or not web search, the most web usage is started by search. So when you enter the web, you search for something. So what you get on the first page or even on the first two pages is the most important stuff. So if the blogs appear in the on the first pages, they have a more probability to be visited. So what comes on the first page is the pages with the higher page rank. So this is the link between the impact and the page rank, actually, why we did it. So let me now show you the results, actually. This is for 2005. So we see, as expected, it's on the bottom. It's the smallest page rank and the highest page rank here. You see it's a logarithmic scale. So you have at the lower end, at the lower end of the page rank, there's lots of blocks that have no or zero page rank. So this is what we expected. So a lot of blocks aren't relevant for any of the impacts, or are really rarely seen, for instance, in the searches, I guess. So just for some special topics, they might appear in the first page. So you see, on the other hand, that between 7 and 8, there's a small area where it's getting flat, which is a bit different to the normal usage or the normal distribution of the web pages, which actually is a scale-free network and has to have a more curved distribution, actually. So what happened in the second year was that we had a decline on the higher page ranks, and in the lower. But what you can see here, and which actually show later, is that there is a growth between the page rank 3 and 6, which is here in this chart, a bit difficult to see. But let's now ask a
question. Thanks for that, and so you see, I mean, just really to make sure that it's very clear, this is a logarithmic scale down the side here. So we've got, you know, roughly a million blogs at page rank 0, and really just in the hundreds and just under 1,000 blogs in page rank 7 through 10 in each of those. So that's really a very small number at a very high page rank, as you'd really expect, I guess, in a distribution like this and in Google page rank generally. Now, if we compare then these two curves really in terms of percentages of change from one year to the other, this is what we get. So you see that for page rank 0 and then for 3 through to 6, it stayed roughly equal. There's a slight growth. You see the 100% line there just as the second from the top. So at 0, at 3 through 6, there's been virtually no change in terms of the number of blogs really that exist at those page ranks. At page rank 1, we've got a massive decline by something like, 63% or so, I think. And at page rank 7 through 10, too, we've got a fairly significant decline of up to about 40-41%. The number of blogs at page rank 10 in year 2006 is only 60% of what it was in the previous year. The number of blogs at page rank 7 in 2006 is about 59% of what it was the previous year. So quite a significant decline at the higher end, as well as at page rank 1 and 2, in fact, which is kind of weird. And we're not, you know, this is really where we start sort of to speculate a little bit more about what that actually means, what that data is really telling us. So these are some of our kind of initial, interpretations of this. But this is really only the start, and we're very much inviting people to examine this and interpret that with us. But one aspect, of course, that we need to come back to is really the fact that we're focusing here on Blogger and on blogs that are listed on Blogger, at least, in this study. It's possible, for example, that at page ranks 1 and 2, we've got a significant decline simply through natural attrition. A lot of people actually go into Blogger first as kind of a sandbox if they want to start playing with blogs, perhaps, and then decide either, well, I don't want to keep blogging, my blog really never reached much of an audience, no one seems to comment on my blog, I'm only at page rank 1 or 2, So I'm going to quit again now. These might just be people who were attracted perhaps in 2005 to the massive hype about blogging and tried it out and simply said it wasn't for them. Or, of course, they might have moved to another more specialized service other than Blogger. So again, this could be just the role of Blogger as a sandbox perhaps for people just playing with blogging for a little while and then moving on somewhere else. At the same time, I'm not sure if that explains everything. And again, it'd be interesting to see a little bit more of what's going on there. Of course, some of the attrition might also simply be to higher ranks. So the growth, the slight growth in the middle ranks 3 through to 6, might also simply be people at ranks 1 and 2 who are gradually growing in stature. So someone who was in rank 2 in 2005 might have in fact gained some more attention and gone to rank 3 or 4 in the following year. But of course, again, if you look at the growth and decline here, the very significant decline in ranks 1 and 2 is certainly not made up by the fairly small growth in ranks 3 through to 6. So it's not just simply that people are sort of graduating from lower to higher ranks, because simply the decline at the lower ranks just isn't made up by the growth in higher ranks. The other question, perhaps for me in a sense almost the more interesting question, is really the it's really what's happening at the higher end. Well, we've seen a fairly significant decline at ranks 7 through to 10. And of course, those are really where we'd expect the sort of that mythical A-list to exist, the A-list of bloggers, the highly ranked bloggers who are perhaps the opinion leaders on the web and certainly in the blogosphere. So what does a decline there actually mean? What does it mean if the A-list perhaps is shrinking? Is it, again, simply a sign that people have perhaps gained a very high status with the blogs that they've had on Blogger and are then perhaps moving away, starting their own blogs or joining group blogs or doing something else, setting up other sites, joining other sites, perhaps even getting a job blogging, say, for a newspaper, for an online news site, for some other site perhaps, where they're moving away from Blogger because they've reached that high status, that high impact, and actually are getting a job through this. You know, what exactly is going on there? And one thing I think that we really need to do still with our data is to look more closely there at the trajectory of these 4,000 or 5,000 blog staffs that exist at ranks 7 through 10 to see how many of them we can still find perhaps outside of Blogger, how many of them actually still exist within Blogger, and, you know, what exactly has happened there. So really, what's the kind of the churn that's going on there, I guess, in that high rank? What I'd like to see, too, is, and this is something, again, where we have to compare our data a little bit more closely still, the ones that are left in 2006 at ranks 7 through 10, are those the same that also already existed in 2005? Or is there actually much more considerable churn? So how similar are those cohorts? Is the cohort in 2006 simply a smaller version of the cohort in 2005, or are there many new ones that have emerged there as well, which would mean that many more old ones have dropped off since 2005? Again, this is something we'll still have to look at. It could also mean simply that the way that Google calculates PageRank might have changed, or the way that, or in a sense perhaps that the distribution of attention now on the web is actually broader because the web has got more diverse, so some people might have actually fallen down again out of rank 7 through 10, declined further down into the midfield again because simply there's more blogs and attention is just more distributed, more divided across a wider network, so people are losing in PageRank. So really, I think we need to track the trajectories a little bit more, and this is something that we've sort of been starting to talk about a little bit more, to really see are there sort of typical careers for bloggers, at least over these 2 years, and of course, as we follow on perhaps, if we look again this year, can we see again what has happened here and how far these things have developed? I'm very aware we've only got these two data points at this point, which is really not much to go on, but it certainly shows that there's something happening there that I think deserves more attention. Now, just very quickly, of course, we are dealing with PageRank here as well, and it has very significant limitations as well. It'd be great to get at the internal Google data itself, which I believe is actually much more detailed than just the rank of 1 through 10. So it'd be really great to get some much more raw numbers here to work with. And, of course, we also don't know if the algorithm has changed much between 2005, 2006, and further on. So we're dealing here with a black box system, which is, of course, what all web users are dealing with if we're searching Google. And we're led to believe from our own experience and generally from what's been published about PageRank that it's a useful tool and we're using it as such. But again, we don't exactly know what's actually happening under the hood there. We don't exactly know how often, how quickly PageRank is actually updated. So these are certainly some of the limitations of what we've done here as well, that we need to at least state and we need to kind of see if we can work around. Also, for example, by comparing our data with Technorati figures and maybe Alexa rankings and so on, which all of which, of course, have their own problems and their own limitations as well. So what we want to do next, really, from here is, well, to expand that a little bit more, because, you know, 8.8 million blogs is really nothing today. So, you know, these guys have much more server space that they need to fill. So we'll try and expand a little bit more and see perhaps also what's happening outside of Blogger. It'd be great to measure the page rank more frequently, but again, we also have to find out how frequently it's actually updated. So over measuring doesn't really help if it doesn't change from one to the other. Again, other indicators, of course, we have to look at this and really look at what other metrics are available to us, perhaps, to kind of triangulate PageRank data and other data that's available here to really get a much, much bigger, much more detailed picture of what's going on. Of course, using Alexa or so is also deeply skewed because so many people have the Alexa browser plugin, for example. That means that if I keep banging on my site, keep going to my site, then my Alexa rank rises magically simply because I'm visiting it a lot. It doesn't really say anything much about my site. It just says I look at myself a lot. So in that sense, that's not necessarily so helpful. It's something that, again, we need to overcome in terms of limitations here. And that's it. Thank you very much.
You can only measure it by having the figures from Technorati or other blog services that talk about 60 million pages or blogs that are available now, and then compared to the Google statistics, how many pages they are counting or indexing, but this is not really comparable because they are indexing all pages and pages are counted, or blogs consists of many pages, so this isn't really a good estimation or a good comparison. So I can't give a
I think one thing I'd add to this, I mean, as you see from this, obviously, there's a lot more still to do for us here, I think. One thing that would be interesting is, for example, to compare the distribution that we've seen here with a random sample of websites to see if, you know, blogs, if the blogosphere bulks, for example, very much in that center, I guess, in terms of... Well, I mean, usually what you'd expect is basically a kind of a standard long-tail distribution. That's what we've been led to believe. Now, as Lars has said, we didn't quite see this here. That sort of flat curve or lack of curve really in the higher rank is unusual, and I'm not quite sure why that is exactly what's going on there. And, you know, again, there's a lot of speculation right there. I think we have to look much more closely still at the data that we've got, and I think we invite others to look much more closely at this sort of data as well. Yeah.
Thanks for the presentation. Is there a way of cutting it from seeing different countries and different kind of data about countries? Like being asked, you know, with certain cultures blogging is booming, whereas another is blogging is, you know, not the new thing and people are doing the next thing.
Yeah.
So is there a way of doing that?
It would be possible. I mean, we have all the data or we have all the blog URLs right now, could extract more. And there is some tools available which can geolocate the URLs or the servers there it is. But as you know, I mean, if you're using as I'm a German user, if I'm using a service like blog.com, it's not there. That's not really a distinction. It is this language or this country where the blogger is. So, and I think to some extent you can do it, but you should be aware that this data is a bit skewed.
I just follow a question. Is it possible for you to pull a lot of work in the context of the blog?
Yeah.
Usually in the press, like people usually. where they are, but it's to me kind of, you know, crawling the content and pages for looking for countries, not using URLs.
What you sort of get into is, I mean, Technorati obviously has these statistics, and again, we can question how reliable they are, about the languages, for example, of blogs, about the distribution of language, where we've seen the growth in the Chinese blogosphere, for example, a slight decline in the English language blogosphere, and so on. So, if there's a way for us, and again, maybe also dealing with Technorati, although data is difficult to extract for a large number of blogs there, but if we can, again, triangulate that as well, that would certainly be useful. And you're right. I mean, one of the things I guess I didn't mention there is really the decline in certain areas may also be simply that, again, the other language blogospheres have grown, and maybe the English one hasn't quite shrunk, but has kind of stagnated perhaps at a high level. So maybe that's the comparative sort of shifting, growing, and shrinking of particular page rank groups here as well that's contributed to that. So. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the more we look at it, the more data points, the more sources of data, the more aspects and characteristics we can actually add to this. So there's a lot more there we can do.
I mean, what can be done would be that you can take the GARP thing. I mean, there are GARP data available which can be used to track down and compare it to the things that you can extract or crawl from the pages, actually. So and then you get the feeling from the blog services which are using or are in the country and maybe have some different country settings on the user. So it could be done, yeah. So a lot of it. Yeah, there in the back. Yeah.
You mentioned that you should do more triangulation and things like that.
Yeah.
I think we didn't have an impressionistic view of how A-brands
I'm really concerned about Alexa specifically. We talked about a lot because what you mentioned already is that Alexa is really skewing the curve if you're using the browser toolbar. And I think, or I guess, I mean, I at least do it for my pages, and I guess I'm not the only one who is trying to get or pushing up this website or statistics on Alexa. So I think that it's really different to Google, actually, to see distribution there.